Are you ready to realize the true potential in your life and help others do the same? Get equipped to create a thriving future with the Secrets of Success podcast. Inspire others to live, lead, and work on purpose, and experience the joy of watching satisfaction and productivity come to life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Ken Keyes.
Welcome to the Secrets of Success podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Keyes. Well, each week we try to bring you experts, individuals who excel in their field, and today is no exception to that. You know, this individual has been a Stanley Cup champion, one of the very, very few in the hockey world who has achieved that, been a sports broadcaster, an NHL coach. He's the author of no less than five different books, including the book Hungry, as well as some other books around where he's interviewed top performers. And so I just, everybody, could you welcome Ryan Walter to the show? Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken. Good to be here.
Well, Ryan, you know, we have the privilege of not only being colleagues, but also being friends. And I think one of the things we want to do today for our listeners is, since you've been in this world of high performance and also investigating and documenting and coaching high performers, that we would really try to share with them the best tips that you have around that space that we can for today.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, Ryan, you know, first before we jump into it, you know, as an individual who's esteemed in the sports world, maybe you could just give a little background about to our listeners. Who's Ryan Walter? I mean, where did you come from? What's kind of your journey? And what's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, no, that's I appreciate that. Ken, I'm just a kid from the top of Caribou Hill in Burnaby, British Columbia. And, you know, come from simple means. My folks are the best people I know. You know, I have a couple of brothers and a sister. We all grew up playing hockey. You know, it was interesting. I'm one of these kids that didn't have a pair of new skates until I was playing hockey in pretty high level in midget, you know, and then went on to junior and then went on to pro. So, you know, it was a great upbringing. Loved it. I think the one thing that maybe has spanned my life, and, you know, from junior hockey, I went on to get drafted. I was fortunate to be drafted number two in the world by the Washington Capitals. Traded to the Montreal Canadiens, was there nine seasons, and then ended up back in Vancouver with the Vancouver Canucks. But I think the one thing that's really, I don't know, maybe if you were to say, okay, who is Ryan Walter? And I think that's what you're asking. The one thing I would say is that I found a way to really stay hungry. And you know, if you're going to be a player at the highest level in the NHL, I think there's 700 players that get to play at that highest level worldwide. Everybody's after that job, so who wants it most? And I like, you know, maybe hungry, some people don't understand maybe as much that term. I like what Carol Dweck says in her book Mindset, and that is that we either get connected and focused in what she calls the fixed mindset or the growth mindset. And I was thinking, Ken, today, really, I have, you know, if you were to ask who am I would say that somehow I've found a way to stay in that growth mindset. And so we're not done. We feel like I'm 58 years old, and my wife Jenny and I feel like we're just getting going.
And I can attest to that, just to the listeners, and prove that. So you are a continuous learner, Ryan, and really see that the top performers do it. So Ryan, just take us for a few minutes through your journey of being drafted. What do you think were some of the characteristics that you demonstrated or brought to the table to be chosen number two overall? And then also get into this place where you were able to win a Stanley Cup with Montreal. What were some of the characteristics that you brought beside the word just hungry or ambitious or, you know, what would be some other characteristics that you felt were important to your journey and your success?
Well, I think one of the things, Ken, that an NHL player has to be is ready to improve. You know, there. I think the big misnomer of playing at the highest level of professional sport is that you're really good and then you get there and you just sort of, you know, level off and play at that level. I think I learned more at the NHL level, and I grew more and I became a better player at the NHL level over those 15 years than I ever did before that. So I think it's that attitude or that characteristic of, you know, we're not done here. We're just starting. Like we're going to get better at this all the time. And, you know, it sort of proved out in things like, you know, me being first on the ice for every practice and last off the ice for every practice. I mean, I always say to moms and dads that ask me, how do you build an NHL player? I say, well, I think it's a pretty simple process. You have to turn your have to's into want to's. You know, if you have to get up at 5 a.m. and you don't really want to be there, it's going to be a long 10,000 hours of practice. So, you know, I think that is somehow, and I give my folks a lot of credit, but somehow that was me, and that continues to be me. One of the things that Jenny and I love about our summers, like right now, is it, you know, it stokes our ability to learn and to be creative. And, you know, I've got 5 to 10 books that I'll read here in August. And so it just allows us to, you know, to regenerate us so that we can be the best we can be for our clients. From an NHL Stanley Cup point of view, boy, 1986 was a very, very, I'm very thankful for that opportunity. And what people don't know about that, what people forget is that I missed most of that playoff run. I had broken my ankle with 4 games to go in the season and missed the first, second, and third round of the playoffs. And what happened behind the scenes, you know, I really shouldn't have come back for that final round, but I instead of eating hot dogs and drinking pop at games because, you know, my ankle's broken, I decided that wasn't what was going to happen, that I would work out every time our team was on the ice. And I was in good enough shape because of that to come back for the final 5 games. So for me, again, it wasn't about talent. It was about application. You know, it wasn't about, you know, boy, I'm really good and that's why I won a Stanley Cup. It was about hard work.
And the dedication and the persistence around that. Now, I'm sure, Ryan, that there were some very talented NHL players that you were with that might have had a different kind of attitude where they weren't as hardworking, where they got maybe a little lazy and complacent. Did that happen at that level?
Yeah, it did. I think the defining moment for a lot of NHL players is when they get their first, 20 or 25 games in the NHL or at the highest level. And, you know, I think there's two types of sort of focuses. There's one focus says, I'm here, I made it. You know, it's almost like an outcome, right? I made the NHL, I played in the NHL. And that characteristic or attitude doesn't sustain a long-term career at that level. I think the second attitude or sort of focus is, "Ooh, I made it, but boy, are they good!" And you know, I need to grow myself. Like I've got to get over some things. I've got to expand my ability to, you know, stay resilient and adapt. And I think that, Ken, that's sort of the player that, you know, then goes on to be a good teammate. You know, to ask great questions, to make sure that they're, you know, prepared for every practice. And so, you know, obviously, as and I know you're going to go there in a little while, but all of these principles have a great or perfect transference into life and business. And I think that's what we love so much about what we do right now is, you know, we're into our second career. The first was NHL hockey. The second is taking those principles back into corporate.
And of course, we'll get into some of the work that you're doing there in a moment. And of course, the transfer, as you mentioned in your other book, Off the Bench into the Game, and how those transfer. But we'll just spend a few more minutes. You have the two books where you interviewed high-performing NHL players or hockey players, because you also had some Olympic players there as well. And then you also interviewed coaches, NHL coaches. You know, beyond what you've already said, Ryan, what were some of these top players? What did they share in your book as far as here are some key tips around high performance? What were some of the insights that they shared with you in that book?
Well, that's a great question, Ken. I think let's start with the players. The one thing that we found as we interviewed, you know, some of the best players in the world, and Haley Wickenheiser, you know, certainly her content, you know, along with Cassie Campbell, the content of the ladies at the highest level in ladies hockey, the content of what they said was brilliant. It matched.
Just so people know that are listening around the world, that is, these were players on the Canadian women's Olympic team. So
totally.
Sorry, Ryan.
And no problem. And you know, later on, I was so fortunate to be able to coach that team for one year. So you know, I really have a lot of respect for women's hockey. But I think, Ken, the thing that we found that was very exciting was that the players at the top level always focus on solutions and very seldom focus on excuses.
Mm.
So it was never about the referee the reason we lost the game is because the referee was bad. It was always about personal responsibility. And the second big insight is that when players at that highest level went wrong, they got focused on outcomes instead of process. And I think those two are key components to high performance. So let's go to the second one first. You know, I find even in business when people are focused on outcome, let's say we're in sales and they say, oh my, you know, or we didn't meet our quota this quarter. Well, that's all important. I'm not going to poo-poo that.
Right.
But what it does is it takes our eyes off of the prize. The prize is what John Wooden said, the great NCAA basketball coach, winningest coach in NCAA history, said this. He said, I don't worry about winning or losing. He said, I worry a lot about practicing the details that give us the win. And I think that is the big, simple aha moment for every performer at the highest level, is focusing on process. Always, as a coach at the NHL level, you always bring your players back to process. So what are what are we doing within the construct of the game, the process of what we do to get us the win that we want? And I think that was a big one. The first one is pretty amazing when you think of the difference between excuses and no excuses.
Yeah.
And in a funny way, I say this very carefully, but you know, we had a young team in Washington, D.C. when I was drafted there and played there. And for 4 years, you know, we used to focus a lot on not having enough talent to win, or not, you know, the referee messed us up again. And there was, because we hadn't learned how to win. I got traded into Montreal where, the Canadiens had finished in the 70s winning 5 Stanley Cups. And the difference was just find a way to win. So when you have that attitude of, no, just find a way to do it. I'm not going to tell you what to do. We expect to do this. Now go find a way to do it. That changes everything. And I think that for me was the big sort of aha moment that I received consistently from the best players in the world.
Well, Ryan, if you think about even life and everybody that's listening here, you know, how does it make you feel when you have and hang around somebody, an employee, a friend or whatever, where they make excuses for everything that's going around their life, or they take responsibility. What a difference that energy has in everything around us.
Yeah, totally, Ken. And you know, it's interesting when you say that. What comes to mind, and you know, and we don't have time to talk about it today, but that Jen and I have built a little thinking tendencies model, so sort of a mindset model. And mm-hmm. and that's what comes to mind, is exactly what you said. You know, if people are focused on worry or fear of what the future might bring, we end up with that type of I wanted to say castrated energy. That's probably not a good word, but
it's certainly a visual picture for us, Ryan.
I might leave that alone. And then if you have a solution, what we call a future positive mindset, that you focus on solutions and the things you want in life, you really have that extra go forward energy. So I think that you're right. I think that, you know, a mindset, you know, whether it's focused on excuses or focused on solutions, gives off a personal and cultural energy that really sets up your win or your loss.
And an energy just really kind of go forward, where the other one is quite pessimistic. And we know all the research around pessimism versus being optimistic. And so, I mean, that's just verifying it there. And then again, as I said just a minute ago, with the words you said, is that who do you like to hang around with?
Yes.
Nobody wants to hire, hang out with, work with somebody who is constantly whining and making excuses about somebody else. It is a completely different energy. And then when you were thinking, Ryan, about the coaches, what were the insights that these top NHL coaches shared with you?
Well, there were so many. You know, there was brilliant stuff. You know, I'll never forget Pat Quinn talking to us about, you're going to like this one, Ken. You know, where he said, you know how most people say there's no I in team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't it true that we have all of these sort of, I don't know, we pick up these, I don't want to call them old wives tales, because most of the old wives tales mm-hmm. work. But we have these sayings in life. There's no I in team. Pat Quinn, who was my coach in Vancouver and longtime successful NHL coach, said this. He said, they're wrong. Don't you love when people are contrarian?
Okay, absolutely.
He said there's 25 eyes on team. And he said, if you don't take care of the eyes, you don't have a team. And his point was that, you know, if the individuals on the team didn't see their worth, you know, weren't connected at a high level, you know, didn't see that they were in a place where they were really part of the solution, then, you know, it's hard to become a good teammate. And so we love that, where Pat, you know, sort of throws that out there. And you know, I know what people are trying to say when they say there's no I in team. They're trying to say remove the personal ego and mesh it into a team ego. I get all that. But I love when Pat brings us back to leadership. Because leadership is really aligning the individuals on your team so that you can have a team.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, leadership can't have success.
The well, other, independent, you mentioned, it's 25 people that need to contribute, and they're contributing individually on their own. It's not something I can do for you, the player, Ryan. You have to do it yourself, though together we create that team. So that's a very important, as people are listening here, Ryan, I try to emphasize the points that great guests bring, which is that, you know, we can't ignore the value that each person brings to a group or a team to get the performance we want. So thank you for that.
And so, yeah, you're welcome, Ken. And so two thoughts come out of that. The first is that great leadership is about alignments. Great leadership is about mm-hmm. placing people, you know, in the positions where they can have their highest success. And then secondly, a great leadership is about culture. So that's why, you know, so many leaders pay so much attention to culture now, because really, it's about how people feel. There's the big word of our podcast, how people feel about their team and about their contribution to the team that really allows people to play at the highest level. So a guy like Pat Quinn, there was many other great coaches we interviewed, but I'll give you a quick little, he had a plaque. You'll like this one, Ken. He had a plaque in behind his desk up on the wall in his coaching room. And every time you went in to talk to Pat, you saw your eye caught the plaque, and it said this. It said, a failed project is not a failed person. And really, that was everything you needed to know about Pat, right? It was that he held people at a high level of accountability, but he never personalized it. It was never, you're a bad person. It was, you know, we might have lost a game tonight, and I might have made a mistake that contributed to that loss, and we're going to deal with that. But he always held people in high regard. And so, Pat, that was a big one for me. I think that, you know, sort of that whole piece around team and then people. I think the other thing that that I point to is focus. You know, a lot of leaders talk about accountability, and you and I have had this conversation before. Leaders love the word accountability.
Right.
Players or employees don't like the word accountability. they'd rather have a different
You mean
word.
I actually have to do what you've asked me to do?
Totally. And I think that, you know, one of the big words that came out of what I saw as key points to these interviews was the word focus. So how do you continually focus players on accountable, you know, being accountable to play their best game? You know, it's interesting, you know, we hear lots of talk now about playing in the zone, or, you know, there's lots of literature around flow, and we're trying to become experts in this area. It was a great story by Scotty Bowman. So for, you know, listeners around the world that maybe don't know hockey, Scotty Bowman, if you want to Google him, is probably the most accomplished NHL coach ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, won Stanley Cups in five decades. So Scotty, at the end of our interview, said, Ryan, you know, I don't really want this to be in the book, but let me tell you a story. He said, you don't know this about me, but, you know, I love golf, and I've always wanted to score a PGA game. And I'm going, boy, that's pretty interesting. Here's the best coach in the NHL that, you know, has got a bucket list that includes golf. And so Scotty said, and here's the story. He said, the PGA got wind of this, and they gave me the PGA. One of the tournaments came near Detroit where he was coaching, and they gave Scotty Bowman Tiger Woods' foursome for the full day. So here's Scotty Bowman, you know, this great NHL coach, and he's living his dream. He's walking the course. He's 25 feet away from Tiger for the full day. He's inside the ropes. Now, I don't know a lot about golf, but at the end of the round, the end of the day, they have what's called a score tent, and Tiger was in the score tent just making sure his scorecard was accurate. And Scotty, as one of the, you know, the score keepers, had to go in and check Tiger's card. So Scotty and Tiger have known each other in the past from, you know, banquets and speaking engagements. And Scotty gets to the door of the tent, the mouth of the tent. Tiger looks up, sees Scotty, and says, Scotty, where'd you come from? You know, so think about that. Tiger Woods was 25 feet away from Scotty Bowman for the full day and never saw him. And I think, Ken, the best leaders, the best coaches at the NHL level find ways to get their athletes, get their people, get their high performers in an attitude, in a place, right, in a preparation to be in flow, to be focused on that one thing that's going to bring the win. And I think this is the great challenge of 2016 through 2025, we believe, as we do training corporately, and that is the word distraction.
Oh, absolutely.
The word, right? Like the stats are astounding. If we're an average person, we look at our smartphone 114 times a day. If we're not average, we look at our smartphone 700 times a day. And so the big question that we're putting out there to leaders that are on this podcast is, how do you get people to focus in on what a lot of authors are calling deep work, right? Not shallow work, but deep work. And how do you get people into flow? And obviously, that's where we spend a big chunk of our time.
Well, it's interesting, Ryan, just a moment on this concept on distraction. You know, there's lots of people said, well, they go to hire an employee or somebody else says, can you multitask? Well, the research shows is that there is actually no such thing as the ability to multitask. You can have multiple projects that you're working on, but you can seriously only work on one thing at a time. And so I think sometimes our expectations are based on false assumptions about science and what we can do. And then the other word that comes in behind that is I need to be disciplined to take those distracted things out. Imagine, Ryan,
yes,
if we went to a bunch of millennials or anybody for that matter, I'd be included on this, and we just removed your phone from you for about a day. Both of them would probably have a heart attack. So, because we've had this addictive kind of nature. So part of that reflective piece, which you talked about earlier, where I want to grow, is what do I need to take out that's clouding and affecting my performance? Very, very important concept. So thanks, Ryan. Anything else that
welcome.
The coaches really brought to bear in the interviews you had with them?
Well, I think just back to what we talked about at the beginning, and that is the multiple ways that they talked about focusing on process versus outcome and how hard that is. You know, you lose a game and the press, everybody is focused on you lost 3-2. You have a bad quarter in sales, right? And the CEO right through to the investors are saying, okay, what's going wrong with sales? And I think that one of the key components that I really liked about what each of those coaches talked about was the multiple ways in their personality, how they could help refocus on the team on process versus outcome. Brian Sutter had an interesting one. He actually worked backwards. He did what you just talked about, Ken. He took 82 games, and so at the NHL level, the season is 82 games long, and you get 2 points, for a win. And so what he did is he took 82 times two, and he said, "Okay, we've already got those points. Now we're going to." Sort of dare our opponent to take those away from us. So he backed into losing and winning instead of, so I thought that was interesting. The other thing I'd fire at you though, just finally on this piece on distraction, because it's such a big piece. I read recently, here's a very practical one for your readers. I read recently, if we just take off notifications from our email on our computer and our smartphone. So just remove those beep, 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 oh, you got an email, oh, you got a text. If we just do that, we can today increase our productivity by 10%. So there's a very simple, not easy to do, but very simple solution, to one of many pieces of distraction. But I do think, though, to finish this up, I do think that how we choose to sort of work in a distracted world really is an indicator of how far we're going to go and how much high performance we're going to generate. You've written many books. We've written books. When you write a book, there's all kinds of distraction. Mm-hmm. There's distraction to not finish a chapter, to not finish, you know, the end of the book. But, you know, somehow you get up a half hour earlier or an hour earlier in the day and you do it. And I think it's that hungry spirit that pushes through distraction.
One of the things that backs that up, Ryan, is that, you know, I shared with you that we have some relationship with Marshall Goldsmith. And so his research verified it, plus many other speakers and ourselves, is that nothing happens without structure. So yeah. When you back up this process, if you don't put a structure in place, whatever it is, a discipline. So when I was writing my book, I slotted the 4 hours a day to write it for 3 months. That's when it was going to happen. Nothing was going to get in the way with that. The same thing with some of the work that you do with Jen and how you co-write together and get the book together is that you put that in. The same thing with fitness, right? If I don't book it, it doesn't exist. So part of, you know, the work that experts all around the world is for those of you listening, if you want to change something, if you can't bring the structure to bear, or if you don't, then you are destined not to be as productive as you can. So that's really
good, Ken. And I would say from a player's point of view, just to bring it back to sport, only because that's our metaphor today. But from a player's point of view, it's very interesting. The word structure is a sports word, and it's really about how do you play. Mm. It's how are you going to play your game, and I think that that transference is really good into people's lives, you know, for their business and for their personal life, because it's really about how will you play this life, and that then gets into your calendar. You know, if it doesn't get into your calendar, it's not structured.
And a lot of people say, well, I'll get to it. And we know that that's just not going to happen. And one of the things that you are highlighting, Ryan, is not only does it get in the calendar, the question before that is, what do I need to put in my calendar, which is this process? And most yes. sales managers, most leaders, individuals listening to this said, well, okay, you know, I want to hit this goal. But it's what I do every single day to hit that goal. That process,
correct.
That step, that system, that is going to achieve the outcome. By just having the outcome itself is not enough to be able to achieve it.
Yeah, and Ken, that's brilliant. And I'll give you two, one from sport, one from business examples. A lot of NHL players or players at any level or within any sport say, well, you know, I'm in a slump. I haven't scored in 10 games. So that's an outcome, and that's sort of a, you know, a statement. What great players know is as they go into those dry periods is they have to increase their shots on goal. So you will not score at the NHL level unless you get 6 to 7 shots on goal. So what do you do? The process is I've got to find a way tonight. I will find a way in this game to increase my shots, and that will give me the outcome I want. We do the same in sales. You know, Jen and I have a great sales funnel. We load that funnel with warm, you know, lots of warm opportunities. And then I get on the phone. People, you know, think that, you know, the outcomes just come our way because we're an ex-NHL player. Well, that's not true. You know, I get on the phone.
Really? Doesn't everybody in the world call you, Ryan? After
well,
they listen to
while,
the podcast, obviously
a,
hundreds
yeah.
will call you.
Well, I like that. I'll give my phone number quickly. But you know, really, it's me on the phone reaching out to clients that, you know, that goes, my system simply goes from funnel to email to set up the call to making the call to building a proposal to having a second or third call to, you know, define it. And by that time, 80-20 rule, 80% of those calls turn into business. So I think that's the point that we're making is that, you know, if you get up in the morning and you go, oh boy, I'm, you know, this is going to be a bad day and I haven't scored in 4 weeks. Well, there's a pretty good chance that you're focused in what we call the future negative, and you're going to get more of that.
And so it's, yeah, that mindset that we come back to it. Well, Ryan, I'd like to do a bit of a shift. And, you know, we have all this hockey background, and you can still bring in those stories. Those are awesome stories. Ryan, you shifted, you know, from the hockey world, though you still work with young players and you help young players with agents calling you to help them get to the NHL level. You've now moved into really doing corporate work. And you had the distinction recently to being rated the number one speaker for the executive committee. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And for those of you that are listening, the executive committee is a group that brings together business owners and leaders into a room of like mind and size, and they meet on a regular basis, and they usually have speakers come in, and these are usually you know, senior people, CEOs, general managers, owners, that then they bring in experts to help them to grow their business, and then they have peer identification, accountability, in growth in those groups. So congratulations. So one of the things, Ryan, you know, what are you seeing out there that is a great need for business these days? What's missing that you think that we need to address from an individual or a group or organizational performance? What do you think is missing that people need to consider?
I think there's probably lots, Ken, and you know, it would take you know, as you know, 5 or 10 podcasts to fill up.
We'll do another one.
Yeah, what's you know, completely missing. I think the one thing that we've been maybe hitting a bone with, you know, presidents and CEOs at tech, and probably because of, you know, indicate some of our success there, is around team. I think a lot of you know, it's very interesting from multiple levels. There's so much change happening in corporate now. You know, and whether it's real or it's perceived, you know, whether it's economy, through, you know, you look, we have clients in Alberta, Canada, and that are highly dependent on the price of oil. And so they've been in a tough go lately. There's so many, aspects of change. So individuals getting through change is one thing, but how do you pull multiple levels of culture and team to change? You know, you and I make one change in our team, and now our culture is different. And so how do you balance that out, and how do you keep that moving in a positive way? So I think that what we've tried to do with our thinking tendencies model is go right to the mindset that can help align teams around change. And we've identified 5 mindsets that help, you know, not only sports teams, but corporate teams to really see, you know, what are they thinking? And Ken, you asked about, you know, what is the big challenge out there? Here's the question that we've been asking leaders across the world is, how do you ethically shift the mindset of your people? And that is the question right now that we're spending time with executives around. Because if we can't shift that mindset, then we're not going to end up with the culture or the what we call in sport the team atmosphere that we know has to be in place for us to play at the highest level.
Well, this goes back to what you're talking about with attitude, even with players, and the difference between high performers and low performers. So, Ryan, we have about 10 minutes or so left. And I think we have enough time for you to share your model about, you know, above the line, below the line, and these 5 mindsets. So hopefully we can get that, and that really will be valuable for everybody listening today.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. Love to do that. In a nutshell, it's a very simple model. We came up with it and because we needed to have some structure. There's your word again. You know, some structure to talk about in this area of mindset. One thing I'll preface here, Ken, is that, you know, I was getting tired, and I would never personally say this, But I've heard lots of people, consultants through leadership experts, you know, that tend to throw statements out there, and they say things like, well, just get a better attitude. And I'm sure, you know, not meaning to do that. I'm sure we've all at times probably done that to our kids. Mm-hmm. Just get a better attitude. You know, as a trainer and, you know, a speaker trainer, I promised myself that I would never say that to people. And because I would never tell them that if I couldn't show them how. And really the model is probably the outcropping of that. It's giving people a way, sort of new language to talk about, you know, so that we can have conversations around mindset. So here's the model. If you've got a piece of paper there, listeners, on the top left, you just put in a plus sign. And obviously we, you know, in life we have positive thoughts. I'm going to talk about thinking now. It's called the thinking tendencies model. And certainly, you know, we're doing our best to get it out in our next book, which will be called Shift. Then you go down to the bottom of the page on the left, right below the plus sign, put a minus sign. Next to the minus sign, just a little bit to the right, put in a P. And all the way across on the far side, at the same level of the P as the P, put in an F on the far right. Put a circle to start right where the just above the P and next to the minus. And Ken, we call our first mindset past negative thinking. So you know, we start to talk to people. Typically, we ask the question, you know, when we say past negative thinking, what are the indicators for you? What are the significant words that describe past negative thinking? And we get into great conversations around this. Most people go, they take a deep breath and they go, oh, totally. Like, it just sucks the energy. Even if you think about past negative thinking or thoughts you've had, it sucks your energy. The key word for this part of the mindset model is regret. And so many of us, and I always say to people, you know, just if you could hang around for an extra hour and just let me talk about all the regrets I've got in life, that would be very cathartic for me. So mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do it, though. I don't blame them. So regret is a big one. So things that we've said or things that we've done or things in our past that didn't work out. The issue with the model, I want to, you know, make sure we're saying this right up front, Ken, is that this is not a positive thinking model. Now, positivity is incredibly important for team, but this is not a positive thinking model. This is really, you know, what we call a reality model, because we're going to go to past negative. Our thinking is, you know, life hits us hard. And basically we go, here we go again, and we go right back to the last time that we had tough times. Let's move. We'll come back to this a little bit, but go straight across to the right, just above the F, put in and name that part of the mindset model, future negative thinking. So future negative thinking, you know, you and I've had these discussions, is really described by two words. The first word is fear. You know, we're looking into the future and we're going, I hope that doesn't happen. Or the second word to write in here is worry. And energy gets paralyzed in this mindset. So we're looking consistently at a future we don't want. Now, we talk a lot about the, you know, reticular activating system, you know, in our brain in this area, because it basically says, you know, it gives us our brain, our thought process gives us more of what we focus on. So think about the concept in future negative thinking. We're focused on things we don't want, and our brain pretty much gives us more of that. So this is where can most teams lose. And if I could say to your people listening, this is where we have our losses. And here's how it goes. We lose the game before we play. That's a key. Let me say that one more time. In future negative thinking, we lose the game before we play. Right.
Because that's what I believe will happen, and that's what will happen because I get more of what I focus on.
Totally. And the energy, we don't bring to the game the energy that we need to play because of future negative energy. Now, what? Let's move quick. If people could put a big sort of two large lines about an inch apart, straight across from left to right, and then go up an inch and another line left to right, and right in the middle of that line, directly in the middle of the group, put in a circle. We'll come back to it. Right at the up near the plus sign on the far left, mm-hmm. put a circle there, and we call that past positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into it too much, but this is a brilliant place. This is where leaders really regenerate the energy of their team. This is where people actually talk about what worked and congratulate people around what they did well. You know, when we focus on what people have done incredibly well, we get more of that. So we won't spend too much time there, but this is where we regenerate energy. And then if we go straight across...
Now, I'm just going to stop you for a second, Ryan.
Yep.
You're doing really well. Thank you for all this information for the listeners. But to validate this, that was the research that I was sharing with you at dinner, where the best leaders or CEOs reflected on the past as they were starting to create the future. And so
correct.
This becomes an affirmation. And there's all kinds of research to support this, that I reflect on the past to bring that in the future, and that affirms that. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So as we move over to the right. Sorry.
Yeah, to the far right, and we'll put a circle there, and we're going to name that future positive thinking. This is a very powerful place, and this activates the energy of our team. When people focus on what we want to accomplish and how to get it, so outcome and process, we start to get great results. And, you know, I can name so many NHL players that didn't have the talents to play at the NHL level, but played and won Stanley Cups anyway, because they lived in future positive. They lived in solutions. They brought an energy and a team development energy that you just couldn't live without. So this is a big one. We spend lots of time there. And then finally, the fifth mindset. So let's just review the four. So bottom left, a past negative thinking, tough spot. A bottom right, future negative thinking, a debilitating spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're gonna talk about an important word here that both Ken and I have used, and we're gonna talk about the word shift. So when we call that below the line thinking, when we're in a past negative or a future negative, and our goal is not to not go there. We're gonna go there, but here's maybe the key component to the model, Ken, and we'll get into the fifth mindset quickly, and that is that the people that we know in life that have the highest quality of living, independent of money, you know, relationships and all of that. People with the highest quality of living, here's what we've noticed. They shift quicker. So they go below the line, they spend time there, they don't deny it, but they shift quicker. And so that's an exciting piece, and that'll be a big piece of our book. Finally, let's get to the fifth mindset, and if people could put in that fifth mindset right in the very middle, it's not past, it's not present, I'm sorry, it's not past, it's not future, it's present, and we call that the flow zone, F-L-O-W, and then zone, flow zone, and this is our best game, and there's lots of work in literature. Csikszentmihalyi writes the book Flow. Start there, and then we'll spend a lot of time in our next book talking about flow. So those are five mindsets, and what we challenge corporate teams to do, Ken, is to with this new language, is to really create awareness within the team of what kind of mindset we're bringing personally, and what kind of mindset, you know, is starting to happen culturally. And then let's work to shift it. And that's the fun work we've been doing.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. You know, when for listeners there, when Ryan talks about past negative, future negative, you know, I love the words regret. The other one, fear and worry, and we've written lots of content about that. And, you know, the stats are 90%, 97% of what you worry about never happens anyways. Past positive, you know, a lot of times people don't really even acknowledge all the contribution that they make. And in some cases, maybe even discount it, Ryan, you know, all the great things that have happened. Because I'm so busy focusing on the negative, I missed all the positive things that occurred. And then, of course,
I'll jump
go
in.
Ahead.
Just
go ahead. Go ahead. You had an inspiration.
Brilliant.
You fire away.
Yeah, I did. And here's why. You know, we're making this very practical, and we're actually getting leaders and cultures to start listening into conversations around the five mindsets. So literally, people are starting to identify, boy, that's a future negative conversation that we're having right now. And we're teaching leaders how to shift the conversation above the line. The number one way, the quickest way to shift a below the line conversation is to focus on not your past positive, but the past positives of the person that you're talking to. And so what you said there, Ken, is very important because the past positive absolutely redirects thinking. And it takes us back to what worked. And, you know, in the world of business, right, we have structure around this. You know, we encourage people's future by, you know, sort of making sure that we're focusing on the things they did well in the past. So it's a really nice sort of balance in these five mindsets.
Well, thanks, Ryan. You know, and just so people know, Ryan also and Jen also use some of the CRG tools and the programs that you do and help people to understand themselves. We don't have time to kind of go in how you've used that today, but how personal style and personality contributes to a person's mindset and working to a team and playing to their best. Ryan, if people want to get a hold of you, what are the different ways that they can contact you or find out more information about the work that you do?
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, I sure appreciate that and love working with you and CRG and all of the people there.
Thank you.
The first way is ryanwalter.com. That's pretty simple. Ryanwalter.com. And we have a place where you can not only see a lot of the videos that we're doing, but the work we're doing, but also you can get a hold of us there. The second place is I just give all of my personal numbers. It's you know, ryan@ryanwalter.com is the email. And we have a 1-866 number on the website. I'll just give you my cell, which is 604-996-4446. 604-996-4446. And love to take your call. Love to connect with your people, Ken.
Well, Ryan, I really appreciate you taking the time to kind of hang out with us today and be on the Secrets of Success podcast. If you had a closing thought or an encouragement for our listeners around performance and realizing your potential, and you're now my personal coach and you're only allowed to leave me one nugget for today, what would that be, Ryan?
I think the nugget is back to what we started at the beginning, and that is really to ask yourself, in this life, how do I stay hungry? And the context of that, Ken, for me, is, you know, back to the scientific neuroscience work of Carol Dweck. And so the second question that is, you know, really about that concept is how do I sustain that growth mindset? You know, how do I stay in the growth in the growth mindset and not get into that fixed mindset? And I think that you know, sort of alignment of what makes me hungry. So we start talking about purpose and passion. And then how do I stay hungry? Because this life can really knock us down. You know, what am I reading? Your point, who am I hanging around with? You know, what are the things in life that I love to do that are personal to me? And I think that's the nugget. And, you know, finally, as you know, we had to write the book on 10 ways to stay hungry. But that for me is from hungry. If you and I are hungry about what we do, we're hungry about our marriage. You know, we're hungry about our kids. We're hungry about relationships. You know, we're hungry for our business. Everything else falls into place.
Okay. Well, thank you a lot, Ryan. I appreciate that. And so we want to encourage everybody that's listening, you know, can you have a shift? Can you move into the above the line in a positive? And can you, would you be considered, if somebody asked you, are you really hungry? You know, every week we thank you for listening, you know, for participating in, listening to this show. Hopefully we create some value for you. If you like the value that we're creating, then we just encourage that you would pass this on, that you would share it, you would tell others about the Secrets of Success podcast, and then let us know. Maybe there's some topics or areas that we can serve you in another area, or maybe there's a guest that you would like me to interview or have on the show. So thank you very much for listening to Secrets of Success podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Keyes. Have a great day.
Thanks for exploring the secrets of success with us. If you want to keep the momentum going, log on to crgleader.com. Scroll to the bottom and sign up for our inspirational emails. You can also take your success to the next level by following us on Facebook and Twitter and connecting with Ken on LinkedIn. We hope you have a great week and look forward to you joining us next time for the Secrets of Success podcast with Dr. Ken Keyes.